Ephesians chapter 5 again tonight. Ephesians chapter 5. I'm giving you part 2 to a message that I began this morning on the stronghold of worldly music and what a stronghold it can be and become in all of our lives. If we're not careful, all of us can struggle with this. And we want to give God the honor and glory in our own hearts and lives to allow Him to have His way in the music, in our personal lives, in our families, in our homes, in the church. On and on we can go. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and make a melody in your heart to the Lord. Again, part 2, the stronghold of worldly music. Our Father, we rejoice again in the opportunity to come to your house to hear your word opened and preached. And we thank you, Lord, that you have the answers to all of life's situations, all of life's problems and difficulties. You are the answer, and we know that. And I pray tonight that you help me to preach what you've laid on my heart for this vital subject as we conclude this message tonight on the stronghold of worldly music. I pray that it will never become a stronghold here. It'll never become a stronghold in our personal lives, in the lives of our family, our children, our teenagers, our singles. Lord, help us to be people that have music pleasing unto the Lord God of heaven, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 118, 14, the Lord is my strength and song. He's become my salvation. Psalm 96, verse 1, oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Psalm 144, 9, I will sing a new song unto thee, O God. Upon a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings will I sing praises unto thee. We've introduced this morning, and I remind you again that it's been reported that there are more than 500 references to music found in the Word of God. And the Lord created music as a means of praising Him. But the devil and the world and the flesh have taken God's gift of music and turn it into something that perverts the minds of people and draws them away from the Lord. Now, we've already given two of these three things to you. Let me just go back and tap on the head the first two. First of all, we noticed the power of music. And we brought out under that this morning how music truly has power and influence over people's lives. Biblically speaking, we went to 1 Samuel 16 where King Saul has a troubled spirit. He's enraged. He's jealous. He's envious. He's got an evil spirit that's troubling him. And yet, when David played godly music, I'm talking about just among him, the evil spirits departed from King Saul. And you see the power of music there, God-given music, God-blessed music. And on the flip side, we turn to Exodus chapter number 32, where the Israelites were worshiping a false idol, a false god, a golden calf. And yet when Moses came off the mountain where he had been meeting with God, Joshua says, there's noise of war in the camp. There's a war going on. And Moses said, that's not war I hear, that's singing I hear. And that music was so loud, if you will, or whatever it was, it caused Joshua to think that there was a battle taking place, shouting and all these other kind of things. And yet we see that during this pagan ritual, if you will, bowing down to an ungodly idol and to an idol of gold, that they were singing ungodly music with ungodly sound. Music has power. We looked at that this morning. Secondly, we looked at the purpose of music, and the purpose of music is not my pleasure. The purpose of my music, I'm talking about that I listen to and that you listen to, and the purpose of the music of this church and the purpose of music in general, why music was created, it was not created for man. It was not created for man to dance to and tap their foot to. It was made for the glory of Almighty God. That's why He created it. Go back and get this morning's message, unless you just would rather not. That's okay too, all right? Let me start tonight with the third major thing that I'm giving you, and that is we've looked at the power of music, the purpose of music. Now let me close with this, the principles to follow for music. Now, this would be the application, if you will. How can we choose the right kind of music? Let me say this up front. These four major principles I'm going to give you are not all the principles to follow, okay? There are a lot of principles to follow within the Word of God about choosing the right kind of music. But these are four major principles. that if you'll take your music and look at these principles, does it line up with that? Does it with that? Does it with that? Does it with that? And if your answer is yes, 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 then I think it's pretty safe to listen to it. But let me say this to you before I even get to the principles. The greatest thing you can do to know what music is pleasing unto God is not read a book about it. It's not even hear a message preached about it. It's to walk with God on a daily basis. Because when you walk with God on a daily basis and you're not going into your prayer life and your walk with God with a preconceived notion, and you honestly want to please God with your music, you honestly want God to smile on your music, you honestly want God to bless what you listen to, the Holy Spirit of God will teach you. And He will show you what is right and what is wrong. So don't bypass that. I'm not bypassing the Holy Spirit's leading. That this is on top of that. Everybody understand what I just said to you? You must be led by the Holy Spirit of God. On top of that, let me give you four major principles to follow. Some of this is really just going back and repeating what I've already said. But number one, first major principle to apply to your music that is pleasing to God. Number one, it has God's glory as the goal. It has God's glory as the goal. Listen to these verses. Psalm 100 says this. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. The Bible says in Psalm 115 verse 1, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy true sake. Psalm 69 verse 30, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify Him with thanksgiving. Now get this. If man's performance or if man's entertainment is the goal of music, it is not for the glory of God. Now, friends, you need to understand this. If the goal of singing is to be applauded, I don't care if it's a cappella music, friends. I don't care if it's just piano music. If the goal for music is for somebody to say, look how well I can sing, that is ungodly music. Makes no difference how well they can sing. Makes no difference if they're on tune. If they sing like an angel or sing like a pig, makes no difference, friends. If the goal is anything other than God's glory, it is ungodly music. Everybody understand what I just said to you? God's glory is the one and only goal of godly music. That's it. That's it. It's not to make money. It's not to entertain man. It is to glorify God. Paul Chappell put it well. I like what he said. And I quote, church growth experts tell you that you must give people the kind of music they like. I wholly disagree. And I put an exclamation point there myself. That's like telling a doctor he must prescribe a medication that tastes good. I've learned that the musical appetite of your church family should be shaped by the Spirit of God, not the preference of culture or of the worship leader. Make God's glory the goal of your music. Is the music that you're listening to and is the music that you allow into your home, is the music that you allow through your ear gate when you're driving down the road, is that, now listen to me, is the goal of that music the glory of God? This is a great principle to follow, friends. Now, let me give you a second principle here. First of all, it has God's glory as the goal. Number two, it fits the category of psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Let me explain this. In Colossians 3:16, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Let the word of God dwell in you. teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Ephesians 5, 18 and 19, it's our text verse. Be not drunk with wine where it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. In these verses here, you'll notice psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. These are the kind of songs that God says He wants to be sung. And God says, when you have the Word of God dwelling in you richly, that's the kind of music that you'll sing. And when you're filled with the Spirit of God, that's the kind of music you're going to sing. Now, this is powerful stuff, friends. He's saying, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, speaking to yourselves in what? Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Be not drunk with wine or where it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, spirit. You see the connection there? In Colossians, it's the Word of God dwelling in you, causing you to speak psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. In Ephesians 5, 18 and 19, it's the filling of the Holy Spirit of God that calls you to speak psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. What are these songs? Let me give this to you. Psalms are simply songs based on the Word of God, based on Scripture. Hymns are songs of celebration that it truly exalt Jesus Christ. Spiritual songs are songs of the Spirit, not of the flesh. They reflect the new nature, not the old nature. There's a reason why God says, sing a new song unto the Lord. Sing a new song unto God. Listen to me. Those that are in Christ, behold, all things are new. If it reflects the sinful nature, it is not a spiritual song. If it exalts man, it is not a hymn. If it's not teaching the truths of God's Word, it's not a psalm. In these three simple phrases, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, true godly music, listen to me now, teaches us here, God teaches us in His Word to sing songs based upon His Word that joyfully exalt Christ and that reflect the Spirit of the living God. One preacher, Kerry Smith's his name, great, great man of God. I've read a book on entitled Music Matters. I encourage you to get it. It's a little booklet, Music Matters. That's the name of it, Kerry Smith. And he said this, and I quote, notice directly after the command to be filled with the Spirit of God brings, right here, notice directly after the command to be filled with the Spirit, God brings music into the picture. Psalm 71, 22, I will also praise thee with the psaltery, even thy truth, O my God. Unto thee will I sing with the harp, O thou Holy One of Israel. Psalm 119, 54, thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. The psalmist said, here's what I sing. I sing Scripture. I'm singing the Word of God. Let me say this to you. If you're not careful, you're going to choose music based on your preference. And you like the way it sounds and you pay no attention to what they're saying. And they could be pumping false doctrine into your home. Now you listen to your preacher, I know what I'm talking about. Does your music line up with the Word of God? Does it exalt Christ and not man? And is the Spirit of the living God choosing it for you? Is God pushing play or are you pushing play? Is God tuning to that radio station or are you tuning to that radio? It's one or the other, friends. Did the Holy Spirit of God lead you to buy that CD and play that song? Well, you just don't understand. I need something to work out to, you know. All I'm saying to you is you're inviting evil spirits if it's ungodly music. It's awful quiet in here, friends. Listen to me. I'm a young pastor. Even if God allows me to be a senior saint, I'm still going to call myself a young pastor. But I want you to look at me just a moment. I love you. And I don't want the devil to get you or your children or your grandchildren or your family. One of the major things he uses to attack you is ungodly music. And he'll try to get you to believe what the world says. What's wrong with it? Nothing wrong with it. By the way, you'll notice I'm not saying that style's wrong. I'm letting the Holy Spirit do that, friends. I'm just shining the light. Let the Holy Spirit say that's not right. That's right. Because you know what I've learned? He can shine things a whole lot brighter than I can anyway. You know if the music you're listening to is right or wrong. And you know if the music that you're listening to is of God and His Spirit or is of the wicked spirit and the evil spirit. There's no middle ground, friends. There's no middle ground. It's one or the other. Either God's pleased with it or He's not. These are great principles. Does your music teach the truths of God's Word? Does it exalt Jesus Christ? Does it reflect a Spirit-filled life? Ask yourself this question. You think the Apostle Paul was Spirit-filled? I believe the Lord has put this in my mind here. You think the Apostle Paul was Spirit-filled? Yes? Can you see him listening to the same music that you listen to? That's a challenging question, isn't it? Principle number two, it must fit. I'm talking about to please God now. It must have God's goal as God's glory is the goal only. Not man, not money, nothing like that. Now, some people sing for a living to earn a living. I'm not belittling that. But if that's the goal, it's not right. The goal ought to be God, friends. The goal is God's glory. Secondly, it needs to fit the category of psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Number three, it is to be like Christ, not the world. Now, this is a broad statement that there are disagreement as to how far you take it, how far you don't. I understand all that. I'm not here to argue the particulars. But what I am here to say is that for music to truly be Christian music, it must be like Christ. Because that's what the name Christian means. It's Christian. It means like Christ. Christian, like Christ. And if our music is like Christ, then let's go to the Word of God and see who He is. What is He? Let me give you a couple of things here, and we're just going to proceed through this point. Is my music truly like Christ, or is it like the world? If it's like Christ, it's going to be holy, friends. And if it's like Christ, it's going to be separate from the world. I didn't say it. God's Word did. Listen to these verses. 1 Peter 1, 15 and 16. But as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. That's what God said. John 15, 19, if you were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. 1 John 2, 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. James 4, 4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Romans 12, 2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Listen to me. If the music is not holy, and if the music is not separate from the world, if there's not a difference, it is not of God. It's not. If music looks like the world, sounds like the world, it is of the world and is therefore to be shunned by God's children. One man said, he was writing or said this from CCM. This was back in 96. That's the year I graduated from high school. That makes me feel old. Here's what he said. Listen to this now. Despite the best intentions, the artist and the business system behind them often find that the world changes them more than they change the world. We at CCM Magazine struggle with these issues. We wonder if we sometimes contribute more to the problem than the solution. I didn't say it. A man from CCM himself made that statement. Let me go on here. One man said, rather than try to define my concept of worldly, because worldly means different things to different people, you understand. And rather try to define my concept of worldly, this preacher says, I believe the greatest, most sincere question you can ask the Holy Spirit in this matter of music is, Lord, what is this music doing to me? And does it please you? I truly believe that he will answer that question, this preacher says. He will let you know what is spiritual and what is sensual, what is godly and what is angry, what is transforming you in the image of Christ and what is conforming you to the culture. He will guide you away from rebellion and into submission. He will guide you away from your flesh and into the Spirit. And I say, amen, 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 amen. Let God govern. Let Him show you. Let Him shine it. And if He says, this is grieving my spirit, turn it off, friends. Get rid of it. It's not worth it. Because what we desperately, desperately, desperately need in our churches, in our lives, in our families, in our marriages, with our children, with our country, with our world, we desperately need a visit from God. We need God to visit. In Luke chapter 7, I was so tempted to preach this message again, even though I've preached it a number of times here. In that story, you have four major, major things taking place. You have the healing of the centurion servant, where his servant is sick and he calls for Jesus. Jesus is coming to him, and the centurion sent some servants out and said, don't bother yourself to come to my house. I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof. He said, all you've got to do is speak the word, because I'm a man with authority myself, and I recognize that just like I can tell this man go and he goes, I recognize that you have that authority over sickness. All you've got to do is say, flee, and he will be healed. Jesus said, He was amazed, if you will, with this man's faith. And he basically spoke the word, and the centurion servant was healed. That same chapter, Luke chapter 7, you have a widow whose only son has died. And the funeral procession is taking place. And the Bible says that he come and he stops at the bier there, the casket. And he puts his hand on it and he says, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And the Bible says, he that was dead sat up. Wouldn't you have liked to have been there? And it says they all glorified God. That same chapter, John the Baptist, one of my heroes. Boy, I'm looking forward to sitting down with John the Baptist one of these days. You say you're going to sit down with him? Absolutely. Absolutely. It's going to be great to talk to people like that, isn't it? What a hero. What a hero of the faith. But at this particular moment in Luke chapter 7, he's sitting in prison. He's already made the statement, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He knows who Jesus is. He knows that he's the one that promised the Messiah. But yet right now he's sitting in prison. Things aren't going his way. And he hears these things about the Lord. And while he's sitting in prison, he sends two of his own disciples and they ask Jesus this question. John sent us. And he wants to ask you a question. Are you really him? Are you really him? Let me ask you a question. You ever been there? You ever been there where you know better before you even ask the question? John knew he was Jesus. John knew he was the one. But at this time, his life was sitting in a prison, and he was questioning. He was doubting. And Jesus, the Bible says, the same hour, he cured people of all these diseases. In other words, all of these things that were signs of the Messiah, he did that, he did that, he did that. And he said, you go back and tell him what you just saw happen. You know what the Lord was telling him? Remember the Old Testament, John, that prophesied that blind eyes would be opened, the dead would be raised, the lame would walk, all signs of the Messiah. Jesus did all of that, John. Jesus was sending word back to John saying, put your mind at rest. I am the one that has come. Fourth thing is you see a lady coming in who's a sinner, the Bible says, into the Pharisee's home. This is all in, what a chapter, Luke chapter 7. What a chapter. She comes in, sits, and sits there. She comes into the Pharisee's house, and the Bible says she was a sinner, and they knew it. She brings an alabaster box of ointment with her. She comes to the Lord and breaks it, anoints him. And the man who's the head of the household thinks that the Lord can't hear him, you see, and he says, I can't believe, I'm paraphrasing, I can't believe he's letting a woman like that close to him. And the Lord said, I have somewhat to say to you, Simon. The Lord knew how to deal with people, didn't he? He said, I have somewhat to say to you. And he gave him a story about how there were two people, if you will, one that had sinned a little and the one forgave him, but one that sinned a whole lot, much, and that one was forgiven. And he said, which one do you think will love him more, the one that was forgiven less or the one that was forgiven more? Simon said, the one that was forgiven more. He turns, if you will, and he says, I came into your house. You didn't give me any water for my feet. But this woman has not ceased to wash my feet with her tears. I'm paraphrasing. He goes on to put Simon in his place and says, what she's done for my burial. She's showing faith in me. She knows I came to die. Amen. And he says, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. And they said, who is this that forgiveth sins also? I'll tell you who it is. It's God. That's who it is. And in that chapter, you say, where are you going from this? What in the world does this have to do with music? Here's where I'm going. You have a centurion servant healed. You have a dead man raised. You have I'm talking about God's child, a disciple, a mighty servant of God who's doubting, but his doubts are settled. You have a woman's sins forgiven. She becomes a child of God, all in that chapter. And right in the midst of that chapter, it has this statement, God hath visited his people. You mean to tell you why the centurion servant was healed? Because God had visited his people. You mean to tell you why the dead man, when he heard Jesus speak, sat up? Because God had visited his people. You mean to tell you why doubts were settled? God visited. You mean to tell you why sinners were forgiven? God visited. We need a visit from God. And our music either says, come God, please. Or our music says, stay away. Stay away. Stay away. There's no middle ground. Is your music inviting God? Is it praising Him? Is it music that is truly spiritual, like Christ, not like the world? Let me give you a fourth and final principle here. I alluded to this morning, but I'm going to give you scriptures and stuff to back it up. Number four principle. Principles for godly music. Number four, it emphasizes the words, not the music. Let me say it again now. It emphasizes the words, not the music. These verses I dealt with in the introduction. Let me just quickly give them to you again and notice the emphasis of Scripture. Psalm 95:1, O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Psalm 68:4, sing unto God. Sing praises to Him, to His name. Psalm 68:32, sing unto God. O sing praises unto the Lord. Psalm 47:6 and 7, sing praises unto God. Sing praises. Sing praises unto our King. Sing praises. Sing ye praises with understanding. Psalm 18:49. Therefore I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name. Psalm 13:6. I will sing unto the Lord. Psalm 104:33. I will sing unto the Lord. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. Psalm 105:1 and 2. O give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Psalm 147, 7, sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praises unto the harp, sing praise upon the harp unto our God. Notice it's sing, 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 sing unto the Lord. Wall Street Journal, in April 9th, 1991, a man by the name of Toby McKeon, he was singing with DC Talk back in this day. I don't even know if that group even exists any longer, but here's what he said. All our lyrics in the songs are based on the Word of God. And they're set to a beat that you can dance to, even if the words occasionally dampen the mood. If that kind of music is of God, I don't know my Bible, friends. What I'm saying is when one of the artists say that all of our lyrics are based on the Word of God, that sounds good. But we're going to put it to a beat that they can dance to, even if the words dampen the mood occasionally. I don't know about you, that bothers me. That bothers me. You're going to tell me that God is in music like that man is talking about? That hey, just make the lyrics right, but put some music in there where they can dance to, and just don't let the words dampen what you're feeling right now. Hogwash, friends. That's not of God. Do I have to twist somebody's arm to get that across to somebody here? Surely not. Hey, help me. So, hey, it's okay to say amen. This message is not easy to preach, okay, friends? So if you agree, at least nod at me or something. Don't start casting stones at me now. The Holy Spirit of God would not make a statement like that. Amen or not? The Holy Spirit of God would not say, I'm going to put music that you can dance to words that please me, but don't let the words dampen your mood. Can you see the Holy Spirit of God saying that? I can't. And I'll tell you one thing, He wouldn't. Amen. Amen. From a secular music critic, this man was a professional music critic for the Milwaukee Journal. He said this, let's not quibble. The music's message is clear. And adding the words of Jesus Christ to the lyrics does not make one bit of difference. The music inevitably overwhelms the best intentions of lyrics. In the Word of God, there is more emphasis placed on the words than the music played. I made this statement this morning. It's so important that you get this. When the music drowns out the words, something's not right. Something's not right. Because the Bible says, sing unto the Lord, not play unto the Lord. Sing unto the Lord. Now, while there are other principles to follow, and these are four principles. Now, there are others. I encourage you to go get them yourself. Is God's glory the goal? Does it truly fit the category of Psalms, based on the Word of God? Hymns exalts Jesus Christ alone, and spiritual songs led by the Spirit of God. Number three, is it like Christ or is it like the world? Number four, does it emphasize the words sung unto the Lord, or does it emphasize the music behind the words that drowns out the words or that causes your body to start grooving a little bit while you're doing all these kind of... Listen to me, friends. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to help you. And while there are other kinds of principles, other principles to follow, these four can help us choose God-honoring music. When music is sung and played in the way God intended, there are some great things that take place. Listen to this. Don't turn to it. Listen to this. 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verses 12 to 14. Listen to this. Also the Levites, which were the singers, all of them of Asaph and Heman and Jeduthun, with their sons and their daughters, being arrayed in white linen, having cymbals and psalteries and harps, stood at the east end of the altar, and with them 120 priests sounding with trumpets. Can you imagine that orchestra right there? It even came to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. All they were trying to do is praise God with the trumpets, with the cymbals, with the psaltery, with these different instruments and so on. There are different instruments, and use them to glorify God. When they all came together, the singers, the orchestra, and they were with one accord just trying to praise God and thanking the Lord. And when they had lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, He is good, for His mercy endureth. Hey, they're singing, He is good, His mercy endureth forever. Wouldn't you like to have heard that song? I mean, 120 priests sounding with trumpets. There's cymbals, there's psalteries, there's harps, they're standing at the east end of the altar. All these singers come together, the trumpets are blaring, all these things are going. They're all in one accord, I'm talking about just in one accord, praising God, thanking God. They were singing, He is good, His mercy endureth forever. And then at that moment, that then, the house was filled with a cloud. Even the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. Wouldn't you like to have been there to see that, friends? What helped bring it on? Godly Christian music. They all come together to sing. Sing unto God. He is good. His mercy endureth forever. And the music didn't drown out the words. It complemented the words. And they came together not to be heard, but to be singing a praise chorus to God. And when that took place, the preacher couldn't even stand where he normally stands because God had taken over in that place. Don't tell me music doesn't matter to God. Sure it does. In Acts 16, 25 and 26, this is the story where Paul and Silas have been beaten unjustly. They've been thrown into the inner jail. They've been cast into the inner prison. And the Bible says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. There's no music, just their voices, a cappella. They were singing unto God. And the prisoners heard them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. Don't you want to see God shake the foundation of the prisons again? Don't you want to see the Holy Spirit of God so fill the house of God that the preacher has to sit down, shut his mouth, because God's in the place. God has come. And in these verses of Scripture, what invited the earthquake and what invited the glory of God to come to the house of God was godly music. Godly music. It means something to God. Psalm 40 verse 3 says, He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in God. In these verses, we see that when music was played God's way and sung God's way, God showed up and people looked to God and trusted God and stood in fear of God. This is what music's all about. It's about creating a healthy fear of God inside of you. It's about inviting the presence of God to come be with you. It's about begging God to help others to trust in Him, and He can hear the songs of God's children and be drawn to trust in Jesus as His Savior. Let us realize the importance of music in our lives. It is a tool that can bring glory to God, can invite His presence, and can point others to Him. But the devil knows this, so he's perverted music and now uses it to establish a stronghold in many lives. Instead of music bringing glory to God, he says it's okay if it brings glory to you. Instead of music here, friends, inviting God and His Holy Spirit to come, he has you think that music's okay that's inviting the evil spirits to come and cause you to bow down to a false idol. And while godly music can point others to Christ, he's trying to get music in your life and my life that says you don't have to be any different than the world. And it causes people to see nothing that they truly need because there's nothing different. Even though we know this, many still struggle with music. It's not a matter of not knowing what is right. It's a matter of doing what is right. If you desire to please the Lord, you know whether your music's pleasing to the Lord or not. You honestly, you do. If you're walking with God, God's Spirit will give you peace or take your peace away from you. His Spirit will be quenched. Kerry Smith said, choose to follow truth over your emotions. You say, I know that music's wrong, but I just love it so much. Why don't you just start obeying God and beg God to take that desire away from that music and put it towards the music that pleases Him? It's not worth it, friends. Let us approach our music. Get this. I'm just about done. Let us approach our music with the judgment seat of Christ in mind. And let us listen to those things that if Jesus Christ were walking in human form where you could see Him and He is riding in the passenger seat of your vehicle when you're going to work or when you're coming home from work, that you have no problem saying, Jesus, put that CD in. I believe you'll enjoy this. Get rid of the ungodly music. As I showed you this morning, but for the benefit of those who are working elsewhere, I had this brought to me. It's been years ago now. And I opened it up when it was brought to me, and inside it were all these CDs, these music CDs, that have been smashed. Because somebody had heard me preach along this line or something here at this church. And this family who wanted to have God's blessing in their life apparently went home under conviction and broke all these things, put it in a box, wrapped it up as a gift and gave it to me. Let me ask you a question. If they meant business, you think that's a waste? No, it's not. But if this family only did this and did not replace it with God's music, they're probably right back in the same boat. You cannot just remove, you must replace. In conclusion, let me give you four quick things. Intentionally fill your life and home with godly music. If you need help, come to us. We'll help you. We'll help you. Number two, choose the best rather than what might be acceptable. Take the high road, like what I said this morning from Dr. Clarence Sexton. Three, parents, you listening to me, parents? Don't buy the lie that kids are just going to listen to this today. As long as they're in your home, eating the food that God allows you to provide, you have every right and you ought to govern what they listen to. If they have an iPod, all these kind of things, and you say, I don't know what they listen to, listen to me. That should not be. Govern what they listen to. Number four and finally, provide spiritual alternatives. What I've already said. Don't just remove, replace. The stronghold of music. The devil's using it. Don't let him use it anymore in you. And go home tonight determined that if there's any music in our home that is inviting the evil spirits and telling the Holy Spirit to stay away, let's get it out of our life today. And let's pump our lives full of music that says, God, please visit me. Please visit my home, visit my marriage, visit my children, visit my church. Even our music can invite the presence of God. May the Lord help us to see this. Hope you've seen my spirit in this. And may the Lord help us to apply it to our lives. I'd like to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. The invitation is really brief and to the point tonight. As they begin to play through softly as soon as they get prepared, I ask you tonight, are you 100% sure that you're going to heaven? Have you trusted in Jesus Christ and Christ alone? Are you truly a born-again child of the living God? If not, why don't you come? Let us take a Bible and share with you the gospel. But on the other side of this, my question that I'm sending to all of you tonight is God pleased with your music? Is God honored and glorified in your music? Is there something you need to get rid of? Something else that you need to put in its place? Have you say, Jody, God is speaking to me. God is speaking to me. And I know that this is something that I deal with. God is speaking to me about this. Adults, teenagers, singles, children, God's speaking to you about this. Would you raise your hand? Be honest. The Lord is speaking to you. The Lord is speaking to you. Yes, God bless you. Thank you. Have you know somebody in your life that's dealing with this? Would you raise your hand? You know somebody who's dealing with this stronghold. Put it up big and high with me if you wouldn't mind. Yes. Yes. Put your hands down. Why don't you lovingly get a copy of these messages this morning and tonight? Take it to them in the spirit of love and say, would you listen to this prayerfully? And let's talk about it. You say they'll get upset. Let them get upset. It may change their life, though. Maybe you want to come and pray for them. Maybe you want to come and pray for yourself. And we'll have Brother Gary just begin to sing. If the Lord is speaking to your heart, I want you to get out of your seat and come. As he sings, I want you to stand to your feet, not all of us, just if you feel like coming to the altar, don't be ashamed. As he sings, you may be coming to bring somebody to the altar. I'm talking about somebody that you're praying for. As he sings, you come now. Would you do that? Come now, please.
Have thine own way, Lord.
Come talk to God about it. Bring those people to the Lord. Ask God to give them victory over this stronghold.
Hold me and make me after thy will while I am waiting, yielded and still.
Let's sing the next verse, Brother Gary, if you don't mind.
Have thine own way.
Let's sing one more verse, Brother Gary. If nobody else comes, this will be it.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master.
Playing through, you can look this way. Let me give you some announcements here. There's no junior camp meeting tonight. We had announced that this morning. No junior camp meeting. Just pick up a flyer on the Welcome Center tonight. They're available out there. Understand, Bob and Charlotte Bryant have celebrated 59 years of holy matrimony together on July the 3rd. God bless you. Congratulations to you. And we praise the Lord for that. Kermit and Janice Deacons celebrated 58 years on July the 4th. And we say congratulations to you, dear people. God bless you. Appreciate you setting the right example at Buffalo Ridge. Staying with it. Praise the Lord for it. There's a table in the far corner of the gym. We're going to be greeting the Wakefields tonight. And there's a table over there, and I encourage you that if you brought something for them, to give it directly to them. You didn't realize this, but we're having a little surprise wedding and welcoming for you tonight. Around the homemade ice cream, And we're so thrilled you're here. And we encourage you to go by and shake their hands. And if you have something for them, or I may be speaking to somebody that may have a mind like mine, you might have forgot to bring it tonight. That's okay. You just bring it back sometime in the near future. And you hand it to them, it'll be a blessing to them. Let me go ahead and dismiss those who are serving. If you don't mind, let me give you a heads up on that. Those who are serving tonight, let me let you get out first. We will pray and bless it here, and then we will get on our way over there. Please stay with us, and you go through and get some ice cream, some other desserts. I saw some of my favorite boxes in the world over there. It has Krispy Kreme written on them, you know what I mean? So we thank the Lord for that. All right, very, very good. Brother Barney Bear, if you wouldn't mind to stand, bless the food, ask God to touch it, and bless the fellowship. Please stay with us, Brother Danny, Rebecca. I'm going to go ahead and dismiss you as well so you can get over there a little bit of head start too. Brother Barney, sir, please.